Last week, I know I shared with you that I had this lesson as well. So I'm going to follow up with last week's lesson, Six Reasons to Praise God. And we're not going to get in a great big hurry, but we'll try to go down through these. Does anybody have any questions or anything from last week's lesson before we get into this one? Maybe a comment or whatever. David's ready. Got the microphone. Well, we'll get through a little bit, and I might have a question or two or three or four or more. You know me. If, yes, ma'am, David. Psst, psst.
I'm thinking about praise being the gateway to bringing heaven down, and I've been thinking about how that ties into spiritual warfare, and I remember, I don't remember where I heard it from, but I remember hearing about how the worshipers were always on the front lines in battle, and that's for a reason, and with everything that's happening in the world, how we're going to feel, maybe a lot of us, a lot of times, less and less like praising, because we're going to be seeing a lot of things, you know, a lot of dark things increasing in the world. And I'm really grateful that I'm here and I'm with people who understand the significance of that and understand how important it is that we be conditioned and trained to handle this when it happens, because it's coming quickly.
Yes. Thank you. So we're going to look at six reasons to praise God. And I know we're not limited to six reasons, but these are the ones that I want to share with you because they're very important. And the first one is we need to praise Him, praise God for who He is. We need to make sure that we know who we believe in, what we believe in. It's not just something that I say you do, is because if you do not really truly believe it yourself, you'll need to have the checkup from the neck up. You know, we need to remember that we've got a lot to be thankful for, and it's not hinged upon the circumstances or what's happening around us. Make sure that you leave your Bible open to 145, because we're going to read that again, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Look at letter A. In this psalm, you find David giving praise to God and expressing to us that even when things around us may seem hopeless, you can praise God for who He is. Because, you know, just to say that He's our Creator doesn't say enough, because He's our sustainer as well. Other than just being Creator, He gives us what we have need of Amen. Letter B, take note at the title of this particular psalm. And if you have subtitles in your Bible, it says a psalm of praise of David. David's psalm of praise. One thing that you have to realize on the book of Psalms, each one is just simply that, a psalm. It's a song. And David here is accredited as the author of this psalm. And we all know what David went through in his life, you know, miserably messing things up with his God, and then repenting and then turning back to God. Should speak volumes to us. But the first thing that we need to understand is that these, every one of these psalms is a simple song. I remember when we had Reverend David Ball in a revival at the Church of God on Cottage Street, and he sang a couple different psalms in the Jewish way. I wished I could do that, but that's just something that is beyond me. But got to remember, it was David's very own psalm. Those were his words that God gave to him to worship and to praise and to magnify his creator and sustainer of his life. Also, it's his favorite song to sing. This is David's praise. In other words, it's his crown jewel of godly praise. And we need more godly praise, not just words of exuberance and happiness, but we need to be able to worship him even when things are going wrong. We need to be able to praise him. And God will put a song in your heart. Amen. I believe there's a scripture that talks about the new song. Letter C, take note of the timing of the psalm. And that timing is a mixed time of trial, trust, and then also triumph. Would David have had triumph without the trust, the confidence? Probably not. But in the midst of the trial, he trusted his Lord. He sang praise to God, which in turn gave him and produced in his life the triumph that he had overcome. And what do you think the devil would use to try and get at him? All the idiotic things that he did. Gee, it sounds like us, doesn't it? All right, let's spend a little bit of time in the next little section here, letter D. Take note of the testimony of the psalm. First and foremost, the New Living Translation, the first six verses, shares with God's people, those who want to learn, those who want to practice what King David did, not the stupidity and the ignorance, but in praising him in the midst of the trial and tribulation. He writes in the New Living Translation, "I will exalt you, my God and my King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." Verse 4, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness." Praise God for his fame and greatness. In those six verses, how many times did David refer to God? Just about every word. He started off that he was going to exalt his what? He says, "My God and my King." And then you're going to praise his name forever and ever. We need to share with our children, with everyone that we meet, the goodness and the greatness of God. Because there is no other deity than our God and King, who's worthy of all of our praise, all of our goodness. Next, David praises God for his goodness. Verses 7 through 10 says, "Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you." So he just builds upon the fame and greatness of his God, his King, with all the attributes of his goodness. Then next he goes into praising God for his glory. Verse 11, 12, and 13 says, "They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign." Verse 13 says, "For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does." So you see, David started out with the fame and greatness, how great his God was, turned to the goodness, started into his glory, and now he goes into praises God for his government. "The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness." How great God is. And then lastly, he finishes out the psalm with praising God for his saving grace. The Lord is close to all those who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. In the last verse, I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Glory to God. So we have to take note of what David is doing. He takes the fame and the greatness of God, talks about the goodness and the glory of God, which in turn reverts to the government, and then finishes out with saving grace. We sing a song that it says, "How great is your God? How great is your God?" According to David, there is no other but the Lord God Almighty. Does anybody have a comment or a question before we...
Yeah, it kind of came to me when we were reading, or when you were reading that first part, when it says that let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts, let them proclaim your power. It's very, very important as Christians that we teach our children about what we believe in, because when they go out into that world, it is very dark and they have everybody coming at them left and right, and not all, and a lot of it is not good. So we need to empower our children with what God says so that they know who they are, what their identity in God is.
Anyone else? Remember, our time that we have together is also a time that we can reinforce. You might not have any kids with you, but there's other kids and teenagers in our services that we need to be the example, to set the example, to be the example, to show them the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. All right. Anybody else before we go on? Number two. We have to praise God for who he is, but we also need to praise him for his greatness. Letter A, it is well when the Lord's loyalty arouses our loyalty and our spirit is moved to magnify his majesty. One thing that we have to remember, especially in the sad times, the dark times, the hurtful times, the trials, the tribulations, the storms, the desert times that we have in our spiritual lives, we have to remember God is what? Faithful. God is faithful. And that we can attest to his loyalty to his children. But we can also, even when we do the dumb, crazy things that we do as human beings, he's still there. He still wants to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Your own family will let you down, but God won't. A1. This is praise in all tenses. It's praising for what he has done, past, what he is doing, the present, and for what he will do in the future. Because rest assured, if you have a promise that you're standing upon in his word, it will come to pass. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon once said, "When we cannot express all our praise just now, it is wise to register our resolution to continue in the blessed work and write down as a bind, I will extol thee." And that's why we have our wall of fame over there. Why I encourage you to write down what the Lord has done for you, what he's doing, and even by faith of what he's going to be doing. Because he's not through with us. Amen. Because he's still working on each one of us. Hallelujah. Praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Letter B. We will never truly praise God from the heart until we praise him for who he is, no matter what is going on in life. In fact, at that point, praise has turned into pure worship. Can you relate to that? Praise has turned into pure worship. Will you notice? Will you pay attention? Will you be able to notice when you step out of your praise into your worship? I believe so, because when we praise God, what does the word say? God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God inhabits the praise, that's when we feel and sense his presence, his anointing, his help, his strength. And then that's when we go from praise into worship. Letter C. In the first two verses of that Psalms, we see David desired to praise the name of the Lord forever and ever. Why do you think David wanted to praise God forever and ever? And then even to go on later into this psalm, that after telling children the stories about God, then every generation would also continue to praise God. Why is that? Why did David want to do it forever and ever? Did it become a habit to him? Did it become a ritual?
You become addicted to his presence. Like, one, just being without him. Gosh. Now I'm thinking about how he begged him to not turn his face away from him, and I want to cry because I can't ever imagine. There's nothing better.
Someone else.
I think one of the reasons he said that he wanted to praise God forever and ever, because he has looked back at all of his life and he has seen that God has been real to him in every circumstance in his life. And because of that, it's a faith builder. So he knows that anything that's happening to him now or anything that's happening to him in the future, he knows that God never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that's why he wants to praise him forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Someone else. She did that on purpose.
I think David had more of a real concept and understanding of heaven than most people at his time probably did. And he was dedicated to being there. You know, I think he understood the notion of his earthly life, of going to where the ark was and worshiping, was one day going to be transformed into literally standing into the courts of the Lord in heaven and worshiping. And so he was very connected to that. And he also came through the generations of what happened after they first came into the Holy Land, and the next generation didn't really know who God was, you know. And there was all these things that, you know, the generations after Joshua and Caleb didn't tell them. And then they weren't prepared when bad things started happening to them until the Lord brought them the judges and then ultimately Saul and then David. So I think he had an understanding of, we have to tell them because we've already seen what happens when nobody tells them. And so, you know, our grandparents and great-grandparents were a mess, and we don't want our children and grandchildren to be in that situation.
We are also living through that with now people wanting to get back in church and wanting to serve the Lord. Anybody else? I wrote down, David wanted to talk and praise God forever and ever because he knew, he believed, and he can go to points of his life where praise worked for him. We don't have to redesign the wheel. We don't have to redesign what God meant in his word because praise worked. And praise worked every time. Letter D. We see why David wanted to praise God. In verses 3 through 6, you see there that great is the Lord and worthy of praise. No matter how you shake it, no matter how you look at it, God is worthy because of his greatness. There is no one greater. Amen. No one greater. Because every generation, if we continue to share and speak about it, to be the example in our services, we can rest assured that God will take care of everything. And another portion of Psalm says he would even grant us the desires of our hearts. And it won't be desires, the big Harley or the big fast car or the big house. He'll meet our individual needs and keep us going. Amen. On the back of page 2, you see verses 3 through 6, you see the outline that we have. Verse 3 talks about for his person. Great is the Lord. We need to praise God for his greatness. Verse 4, for his power. What he had done, what he is doing, and what he would do for the children of God. Verse 5 is for his provision. God has made every answer that we have need of in his word. And then verse 6 is we need to praise God for his perception. When I was doing this and come across this, for his perception, verse 6, David writes, your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. We might not have the answer right at that time, but can't we still thank him and praise him, worship him for the right answer, for the right exact answer that we need for that issue or situation that we're going through. So perception of God. I don't think he asked you how to create the heavens and the earth, did he? But think about it. The perception that God has is exact, and the one point said that we are to praise him in truth. Truth. God is truth. His word is truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Ghost is truth. Amen. Any other comments before we So we need to praise God for who he is, for his greatness. The third thing is we need to praise God for his goodness. Isn't goodness and greatness the same? Some of you are shaking your heads, no. Aaron says, yeah. So if it's the same or if it's not the same, why or why not? Why or why not? She's catching on.
Goodness is related to character, and greatness is related to magnitude.
Anybody want to add anything? And don't say, well, that's what I was going to say. Sister Peary.
Just one sentence. Somebody could be great, but not good.
It's a different way of looking at it. And God is good and all the time. Anybody else? Well, there's no arguing over God's greatness. And there's really no arguing over God's goodness. Thank God he's got all these attributes, all these character traits. Because without them, where would we be? Look at letter 3A. The Lord's redeemed people, having been saved and having been filled with his Spirit, will retain the memory of these experiences, and they will tell of it often to any and all that will listen. The importance of praising God should be a lifestyle of every Christian. You say, well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for or to praise him. Yeah, you do. I think of Sister Shoemaker's life and what she shared all the time. A testimony that she had was she always thanked God for the air that she was able to breathe, the water, and the food that the Lord provided for her. And she even praised God in pain. She said, "Brother Tracy, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work." And she lived to 106. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to praise Him. Letter B, anyone who has experienced the goodness of God will not be able to keep it inside forever. And reading verses 7 through 10 would bring out verse 7, testify of His moral goodness, testify of His merciful goodness, testify of His manifold goodness, and then also testify of His meaningful goodness. God's got every base taken care of. No problemo. In verse 10, we see in verse 10, He wrote, "All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you." And I think of the scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's praise Him together for His goodness. All of God's works shall be praised, and the saints of God shall bless Him for each one of those works. Again, what God did for us in the past, what He's doing for us right now, and then what God is doing for us in the future. Thank God for who He is, for His greatness and His goodness. Praise God for His glory, for His government, and for His grace. Because there's not one of us here that deserves God's favor. I believe it's Romans 6:23, for all. Have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does anybody have any comments or any questions? We've just got 1 minute, so. Last chance. Appreciate you coming out with us.